One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the
kidnapper? Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Come get some. Beware,
IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis,
Scoop,
Marty Sliva,
hey.
Brian Altano. We've got a great show for you this week. We've got we've reached hump day of 2015.
Ooh,
we're cresting. We're about to take the roller coaster down.
We're about to go down.
We've been riding
up the flume. We're going to take the flume down.
We're about midway point in the year.
Yeah,
hard to believe.
It's hard to believe. It's been 6 months.
So it's kind of a weird roller coaster, right? Because the end of our roller coasters are usually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, other roller coasters, I don't know how every roller coaster statistically ends, but statistically, but in the video game industry, things ramp up at the end, right?
Yeah.
Unless they all get delayed until the next year.
Unless you look at it as like all the flood of good games comes out in the fall.
Yeah.
It's like in the spring, that's you're like awesome. Going up, and now you're like, oh, here are all the games.
Yeah.
Let's hit you in the face.
Disneyland banned selfie sticks because people were taking them onto rides and stuff, thinking they were getting knocked out.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah. Very random anecdote, but just because we're talking about roller coasters?
It's not random at all. It's completely relevant to roller coasters.
Some people say raisins are nature's candy.
No one says that.
No, people say that. People who can't eat real candy.
So...
You're right.
You'll be okay. It's very early on the show. We have an hour left of this one.
Okay.
This is going to be great.
Good scoop, guys.
And that's all the scoops we have for you this week.
Jesus. All right. Let's rally.
What are the best games that have come out this year so far?
Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bloodborne.
Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
For me, Pillars of Eternity is way up there.
That's on my list, too.
Yeah.
Batman Arkham Knight.
Yeah, definitely.
You Must Build a Boat.
Yeah.
Released. Apparently, You Must Build a Boat.
Yeah, I'm really warming up to that game.
Yeah, me too. I was actually a little so in the beginning, and I'm the same as you.
Yeah,
warming up.
Isn't that weird? Where it was just sort of, I think I was fatigued by it, and then I got in, and I was like, oh, it's actually a pretty good game.
I'll tell you, we'll save it.
Sure.
I'm only a few hours into that one, but I think that's my my favorite big AAA release game of the year.
So it's also like every 45 seconds or so, I'm like, oh, this looks incredible.
Yeah.
Like, this is such really, a good pretty. Looking game.
I know.
Like, it's staggering.
Yeah. You must not be playing on PC. What about Evolve? Evolve got really good reviews.
Yeah.
But people did not keep playing it, I don't think.
Yeah, I think Evolve is it was symptomatic of every time we saw it last year in preview form, it was really incredible. It's a really great game to play, like a 20-minute matchup that leaves a really interesting, lasting impression. But then when it actually came out, we sat down, like, Vince loved it. I think Vince gave it a 9.
Right.
But it just didn't quite have the legs. It felt like Titanfall, to where it couldn't sustain. Like, it didn't have the Call of Duty or Halo caliber of multiplayer to actually hook people.
It's a game that shines where everyone involved really, really knows what they're doing. And so my experience with Evolve was, I turn on the game, download it, start playing, and I was with a team that was kind of new to the game. We were all new to the game. We're all level one, and so we just stumbled all around looking for the monster, mm-hmm. and like we would find him and shoot him, and then the monster would run away, and we did that for the entire match. But like once you really understand the team roles and understand all your tracking tools and can sort of corner them and it's really balanced, then it becomes really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. It shines at really high level play, and at low level play, which is I think a lot of people probably spent a few hours with it, it's kind of tough.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still releasing like new monsters. And,
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a game that like if they iron out some of the kinks and really focus on how, if they can take, like you said, it has these amazing highs, and if they could somehow find out a way to capture that and have that throughout the course of a match, then I think it could be something special.
I actually didn't even remember that that game came out this year. That's how quickly it sort of came and went for me. I downloaded it and played it for, you know, a Saturday afternoon and like an hour on Sunday, and was just like, I get it. Mm-hmm. Cool. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's weird because when Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 came out, like, I played that for several months.
Oh, yeah.
It had a lot longer lifespan, I think, than Evolve. Yep.
But what we didn't do with Left 4 Dead 2 is remember it on 20 questions. That did not go well.
Yeah.
That's true.
That was bad.
We mentioned it, but Witcher 3.
Yeah.
People love Witcher 3. Oh, yeah. It's a huge, gigantic game. Another game like Arkham Knight where I'm consistently stunned by how good it looks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how much there is to do.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Actually, I think that's actually a detriment to it. And from my point of view, I tend to be a little overwhelmed, and I'm like, Hearthstone is so much easier for me to just grasp and get right into.
So actually, I'm having the sort of opposite issue with Arkham Knight, where I'm like, there's a lot to do, but I'm sort of interested in doing a lot of it, aside from the 257 different Riddler trophy thing.
Yeah.
You know? I know with like games like Assassin's Creed, the mini-map pops up, and you're like, oh my god. Like, this looks like I have to run errands for the rest of my life. Like, there's just so much here. But that's kind of the fatigue I felt with The Witcher. I was like, oh, there's a little too much here.
I thought The Witcher 3, I feel like the longer that game's out, people are going to sort of dig into its sort of highs and lows. And an interesting thing that game does that I don't think enough people talked about was it doesn't really hold your hand in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like, you will find things down in the basement of someone's house, and there's not a map marker for it. There's nothing there. It's just there, and it's telling you a little story. And there's a lot of really interesting world building that happened in that game you know, you'll see people be like, I can't believe this crazy thing I found in The Witcher. And it's not something that a million other people have found. Like, there really is stuff sort of off the beaten map,
totally.
You know, and rewarding exploration. I think that was a really, really cool thing about the game. Witcher 3 was really hard. It wasn't afraid to be challenging. I thought that was another really cool thing about that game.
Yeah.
Speaking of hard, what about Bloodborne?
Yeah.
How's that sitting with everybody?
I think that's probably at the top of my list right now, honestly. I haven't played a ton of Batman yet, but... Bloodborne's interesting because I'm someone who loves the Souls games, and it's my game of the year so far. And Altano, you're someone who really hasn't until now.
Yeah, I only kind of scratched the surface on those games, and I came into Bloodborne. I did a whole rant on Podcast Beyond about how I gave up on it, I rage quit it, and then I came back and conquered it and became awesome at it. And I think in terms of like tone, I don't think there's a game this year that sort of carries one theme better than that game does. I mean, Splatoon kind of does in a totally opposite
way. Weirdly enough,
Of just like,
what?
You know, here's 90s, you know, here's 90s gummy sharks. You know, pogs and stuff like that. But Bloodborne is sort of like, here's this gothic horror world and you are dropped into it and everything is out to kill you, but if you get awesome at it, you will win.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like a king playing that game, because you actually do feel yourself getting better.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's different than the other games we were talking about, because you don't feel like you're inundated with decisions and choices and a thousand things to do and this hopelessness. You have a single goal, and it is to make it 100 feet forward without dying.
Yeah.
And it is that over and over and over again, which I really like, because every time you do make it that 100 feet, it is this like little accomplishment of, okay, I did it. Now, then you turn around a corner and a dog rat eats you.
I still need one of you to explain the Splatoon thing. I don't understand. I don't get it.
No, it's a very singular theme. Like, they're not similar in content, but Splatoon adheres to its sort of mission statement, its thesis.
Sure.
It's
going to do this one thing and nail it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, like, stylistically, you know? Like, whereas I feel like Batman and The Witcher are kind of just like, a little all over the place in terms of...
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, right?
Yeah.
Splatoon is sort of just like, here's a bunch of crazy kids in backwards hats and super soakers, and Bloodborne's like, here's a bunch of murder things that want to kill you.
They're also wearing hats, some of them.
Yeah, some of them are wearing backwards hats.
Is Splatoon one of the best games of the year?
I think it's... So here's, we always get into this, right? Like, I think it's one of the most fun games of the year. I don't know if it's the best game of the year, because I think that the version they released versus the version you might be able to play by the end of the year are sort of different things. Mm-hmm. When the game came out, it was very low on content, very low on maps, but it was incredibly fun. Like, the base concept of Splatoon is great. It's really fun. A lot of the stuff is on the disc, and they've decided this weird thing of unlocking them via updates, even though they've been there already. There's no downloads or anything. So little by little, more things start trickling out, and there's going to be a ton of content in the game. But as of right now, I still feel like it's a little bit light.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great.
It's probably one of my most surprising games of the year. I'm just surprised in terms of how much people love it.
Yeah, sold a million copies.
Yeah, which is, you know, crazy for a Wii U game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marty, what about Broken Age?
Yeah, I mean, Broken Age, see, that's a weird one because, you know, the first half came out last year. Second half finally came out this year. The entire thing is now available, and it's available for the first time on PS4 and Vita. I think it's incredible. I think the one thing that's possibly holding it back is that the first act is stronger than the second act. So it's...
So I love the first act.
Yeah.
Don't spoil it for me or for the audience. But does the end? Are you sad? Like, does it end in a way that you're like, yeah, I like that ending? Is it satisfying?
I wish it was a bit more satisfying.
Okay.
The episode's really good.
Sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't end on quite the same impact that obviously the first act did, which is an incredible ending.
Yeah.
So how come you haven't gone back? You just haven't had time?
It's just, so I, as I've mentioned before, I do all my PC gaming on a Mac that I boot into Windows. So I choose to boot into Windows and play a bunch of Steam games. And I was just booted into Mac mode doing other stuff for a few months. And then I started replaying Fallout 3 after E3. And so I'm in Mac mode, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got Broken Age to play through. I got a bunch of really rad PC games to catch up on. So yeah. I'll probably do that soon.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Speaking of really rad PC games, what about Pillars of Eternity?
Yeah, that's actually another one that I booted into PC to play. Yeah, I mean, a great old-school RPG. I love that stuff like that can exist and coexist alongside... it's like Dragon Age is one version of Pillars of Eternity, and, you know, it's sort of like Baldur's Gate went down these two separate paths. And the one path is the huge, giant, AAA Dragon Age, and the other path is stuff like Pillars of Eternity. And that went away for a long time, and now it's back, and it's awesome. And we're going to get Torment Tides of Numenera, and we're going to get a bunch of other really old-school RPGs. It's awesome.
Did you just make up Torment Tides of Numenera?
I'm not sure I got that last word right. I know Torment is... But these, you know, Wasteland 2 came out. Yeah. It's really, really good. The writing's really good. The battles are really good and tactical.
One of the things I've loved so far is that we've named 7-8 games, and they are all super different,
right?
Which is awesome.
That's why I really love gaming in 2015, is all the stuff that you used to love that you thought had to go away to make waves for the next thing. Now we really can kind of have our cake and eat it, too.
Circle around with adventure games. And
yeah, like you
RPGs.
Get adventure games back. You get isometric RPGs back. You get 2D platformers back. You get 3D platformers back.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Nothing has to go away anymore.
Yep. Shinmu comes back.
It's insane.
Banjo basically comes back.
It's weird.
Now, an early release that really resonated with our audience was Dying Light.
Yeah, that's right.
IGN readers love that game.
Yeah, absolutely. So many people also played that game. It sort of hit right at the perfect time.
They timed that game perfectly.
Yeah, like if that would have came out 2 months earlier in November, a new IP probably would have got swatted down.
It would have got buried,
Yeah, absolutely.
It did very well.
I like the game. I don't love it. I think the game does a lot of stuff super well, but I don't think, I don't know, for me it just doesn't quite come together. Like, I like the parkour, but I don't love the parkour.
I think that's pretty much exactly where I am.
Yeah.
Where I'm, you know, I love zombie stuff. I'm one of the few people that's not fatigued on that yet, especially in video games. Like, it's just, sometimes I do want that sort of come home and beat up mindless bad guys.
Yeah.
And you do that in most games anyway, but zombie games just have the gall to be like, well... They're dumb here too, but that they're supposed to
at least
be.
You know for sure they don't have a kid somewhere that's waiting for them to come home.
Yes, yeah, I don't feel bad about that. But I feel the same way, where there was a lot of elements there that didn't really click with me. I felt like the parkour stuff got better as I got better with it, but I was never fully like, I'm 100% in on this, you know?
I think that game's ideas were a little bit better than its execution, in my opinion. I mean, I'm glad to see, you know, a little bit smaller developer make something new and have it come out and succeed in whatever they're doing. You know, I'm assuming there's going to be more Dying Light in the future. Like, that's cool, right? That's good to see something new succeed like that. But for me, you know, I tried it and couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
I did love what they did the other day with their.
Oh yeah!
Oh great. My God! The shots fired.
Did at I Destiny. Miss this?
Destiny has their Red Bull.
The Destiny guys did this thing where if you buy a Red Bull, you get this DLC, and the Dying Light guys were like, if you drink water, we'll give you the same thing. Just drink water. It's great for you. Use a picture. Put up a picture of yourself drinking water. We'll give you this free code. You don't have to drink any soda.
That's really good.
That's great.
What about Ori and the Blind Forest?
Oh, yeah.
That really cool game.
Yeah.
More people will probably need to play that game.
Also, I'm forgetting all these things came out this year.
Ori, that's why it's good to do this. This weekend.
So I'm going
to
play this. I need to be cheered up. I'm going to play this nice little cute platformer. No. That game's very sad.
Yeah, that game opens in the first 10 minutes. It's just like, geez.
It's the first 10 minutes of Up, basically. Yeah.
Absolutely devastating. Yeah. It was really hard.
It gets extremely hard. I think one of the reasons maybe we forgot about it is just, you know, by being in Xbox One and PC. Wait, is it on PC?
Yeah, I think
I played on Xbox One. Okay, I don't know if it's on Steam or not.
It's just a slightly limited audience, whereas a lot of these games are across the board and everything.
There's no such thing as XBLA anymore. But if there were, it would have been, you know, XBLA release.
Oh, yeah,
this is Games of Summer or whatever.
Yeah,
it's a little bit smaller game, which doesn't mean anything anymore. But, you know, it's just easy to sort of gloss over that when stuff like Bloodborne was coming out at the same time.
Yeah, but Ori's, it's carrying that flag of, like you said, Summer of Arcade almost, of like games like Limbo and Braid and Bastion. And
you're right. I wonder if not for the sake of this conversation, but I wonder if platform exclusivity hurt the amount of people that really would have loved to play that game. Because I think it would have done a little better on PS4. I think it would have resonated more.
Yeah.
I think the PS4 audience at this point is sort of a little more in tune with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I felt like last year the same way with Sunset Overdrive. You know, it's a game from Insomniac, a traditional, you know, you sort of associate Insomniac with Sony systems, and by having it only come next.
Sunset Overdrive is going to show up on most underrated lists at the end of this
game. That game's phenomenal.
Yeah. What about Mortal Kombat X?
Oh, man. Again, completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
That game was huge when it came out.
Yeah. That's like a really, like I really admire that game. I don't play Mortal Kombat. I'm terrible at it, but I love that game. It's still
I'm the exact same way.
Still coming out. I love watching people play it.
It took over our office for a couple weeks. It's cool to see that, but I don't dare pick up a controller because I'm going to get my ass kicked.
I like that it carved out a space for itself. Like Mortal Kombat, survived for years. The first three or four games, just off the silliness and the shock value of the violence and the insane characters, and like. They weren't really. I mean, I played them for 1,000 hours, but like mechanically, they weren't on the same level as like Street Fighter.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
But they've gotten there. Now they have this very different paced fighting system, and they're doing their own thing. And it's actually kind of a legitimate. I don't know if I would call it an esport, but
no. But there is like an actual competitive scene now.
And it feels very different, and has carved out its own sort of competitive identity. Compared to something like Street Fighter, and that's awesome. You know that they were able to, out of all the franchises, to come back and be bigger than ever. It's kind of strange that it's MK, but you know, all credit to NetherRealm.
Yeah, well, and like Damon was saying, it's cool to see that the industry's in this almost like cyclical stage where we're getting things that we loved in the '90s and they're back and better than ever.
Now, there are some other notable big games that were released this year, even if they didn't turn out as well as some had hoped. The Order 1886 came out this year.
Yeah. I still feel like I want to play that game, just like in a weekend.
Oh, you can. I mean, you could probably do it in
you could probably
two
finish, you could finish it by the end of Game Scoop.
Especially if you play it on the easiest difficulty setting, you could probably fly through it in a couple hours just to see it, you know?
That is, I mean, that's a game, its story and world are both cool.
That's not even like,
it's gorgeous. Yeah. It's stupidly gorgeous.
I suspect that if you go in with like the correct expectations, you could probably have a tremendous amount of fun with that game. Yeah. But having not played it, like, I don't know whether you're like, nah, this is bad. Or if you're like, you know what, I enjoyed myself. Like, I can see it going either way.
I think it got a lot of pressure for being the next sort of definitive big exclusive Sony game in a year where those were kind of lax outside of Bloodborne and a couple things that got moved around.
Yeah.
Especially once Uncharted got delayed, it was like, well, it's all on you guys. That being said, I think it got like a lot of threes and fours and fives. I don't think it's that bad.
No.
You know, I think it's
okay.
It's a six or seven game.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine. I mean, sometimes you just want a kind of stupid movie. It's like an airplane movie, you know?
Yeah.
Airplane movie is definitely a genre of movies.
Yeah.
It's
definitely a real thing.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you were talking about the movie Airplane.
Right. No, there are actually two of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to...
One good one.
One goes into space, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Whole space plane.
Not really an airplane. Battlefield Hardline.
Yeah.
Came out this year.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that did get pushed into this year.
Yep.
That is a game that was released this year that it exists and is available today.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the single player in that game actually. Yeah. Quite a bit. I thought the story was cool. Mm-hmm. I liked a lot of the sort of arresting mechanics. Yeah, I think it's multiplayer. Again, it's like Evolve where it's multiplayer got left up by
I think
side.
Of all the modern Battlefield games, I've heard the least about this one. I just don't think people, I don't hear people talking about it.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem to be a thing.
It also just was an unfortunately timed game in terms, in terms of what was happening in current events.
Yeah,
and in,
yeah
and,
of course.
You know, all across America. So, and then very quickly after that, EA was like, and then here's Star Wars Battlefront. And we're like, oh, this is what we want to play.
I'm not a Battlefield player or a Call of Duty player. I'm just kind of over military shooters. But I have a little bit more respect for Battlefield just because of the crazy shit you'll see happen. Like, I visit the Battlefield subreddit sometimes just to see, like, I don't know, just people flipping tanks in crazy ways. Or I saw a guy sniper a rocket out of the air that was going to kill him. And you see stuff like that. Like, it's more sandboxy than Call of Duty is, in my opinion.
Yep.
And that's not the opinion of, like, an informed, like, I'm not playing these games for hundreds of hours. But that's how it seems to me as an observer. Like, it's more of a playground for physics and craziness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
cool.
Yeah, you see 1,000 times more videos of, look at this insane thing that happened, this million to one thing that happened in Battlefield than you see in Call of Duty.
That's actually why I love Halo so much. Yep. But, yeah, Battlefield has more of that in its DNA, I think. So it's cool. It's cool as a spectator.
Yeah, it was. I guess it was odd to see that game get released kind of off cycle. Like, that's usually Battlefield's always like a fall game.
Yeah.
It's like it's right next to Call of Duty and stuff like that. And it's, you know, we saw it kind of in the first half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's going to loop back around after Star Wars this year.
Yeah.
Next year there's going to be.
Do want to play. You're right about those arrest mechanics. Like, they did a lot of innovative stuff on the campaign. That's another campaign I didn't play. Maybe that's another one I should just sort of blast through this summer.
Yeah, it does a cool episodic. Like, it feels like it's a season of a TV show. It's
right.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. GTA 5 came to PC.
Yeah.
Not its first release, but that was very anticipated and has given us many entertaining mods.
God, for many years to come, that will continue to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Just the sheer fact that you can ride a bicycle as a monkey is so much fun now.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, I saw like a monkey jack a car, and then he's driving up the street, and I'm just like, this is a weird world. It's so one of those moments where it's like, our jobs are weird.
Well, like summoning like the whale
in
the sky.
Yeah, and it's just cool.
You can flood the entire city.
Yeah.
The entire city goes underwater, becomes Atlantis. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
Majora's Mask came to 3DS. Yeah.
That's right. I gave that game another chance, and I really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I had talked for years about one day this game, we'll give this game a, you know, we'll do this playthrough, because you liked it and I didn't. And I got to play it again this year, and I was like, yeah, this is actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But interestingly, I had the opposite reaction, where I was like, this really isn't as good as I remember. Like, it's still really good. It's a Zelda game. It's great. But in my mind, I was like, this might be the best Zelda game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. This actually
I was mistaken.
Yeah. And it's really definitely good. A little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And it's definitely still an N64 game.
Yeah.
You know, through and through. Nintendo's been doing this these kind of remakes here and there. And I think Wind Waker sort of fared the best out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because they did more than just slap new paint on it. They actually, like, moved some stuff around. They got rid of the Triforce quest, or at least streamlined it. Whereas the Grezzo team that made Ocarina of Time 3DS and Majora's Mask 3DS, they made some really good looking N64 games.
There are a few quality of life improvements to the way that the menus work and what happens when you zip back and forth through time.
Which, switching items and stuff, especially.
Oh, yeah.
It makes that game a little bit more playable by today's standards.
It's also super weird, which I always appreciate.
Yeah.
Also, the word Grezzo always makes me laugh. It sounds like an
Italian guy, right?
Yeah, he's an
Italian rat.
Hey, Grezzo, I made your new Zelda game. What do you want? It's an old one. I put some new paint on it. See you in a few years.
Oh, he's in Wu-Tang.
Grezzo. Yeah.
The Grezzo. That's so dumb.
Finally, Grim Fandango Remastered arrived, which I still have yet to play.
Oh, man.
Play that one.
That, some real handsome boys say that's the best game ever made. That was just me.
Just you.
Just me.
Banjo-Kazooie.
No, Banjo's number two.
Okay.
Grim Fandango, I think, tells the best story in any video game ever. Mm. I think it's the funniest video game ever made. You need to sort of embrace its 1998 design.
Yeah. Does it have a hint system like Monkey Island did?
Nope.
They implemented a new hint system in
Which
Monkey
was
Island.
Great Monkey Island.
It's kind of a bare bones port. I mean, it's very pretty, but they didn't do any sort of quality of life upgrades that we were talking about for Zelda, for example.
Yeah, yeah. And the hint system could definitely be there because there are some puzzles that are real obtuse. That
Don't be afraid to just use a fact. Like, it's a game worth experiencing. It's a story worth experiencing. So if you're the type of guy that's like, I don't know how to solve this puzzle and now I'm just done with this game, just use a guide and then you'll still have a great video game experience.
Yeah.
But we'll think you're a coward.
No. Yeah. Oh, we don't know for sure. Yeah, we'll mock you, but we'll still do it.
That's a classic Grezzo move. Grezzo gum.
Grezzo gum.
Grezzo hates cheaters.
I think that's all the big games that have come out this year. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick personal favorites,
why do you leave off the Batman?
We talked about Batman already.
Did we?
Yeah. We literally
try to stay with. We led with Batman.
We talked about how gorgeous it is. And
What if this was the beginning of the end for your mind? You can trace it back to this exact moment.
It was a great game. Majora's Mask on 3DS.
You walk outside and you just put ketchup all over your shoes and start eating them for lunch.
Hi, my name is John. My name is Chris.
I don't know where I live.
You're all laughing, but it's actually very sad.
That's actually a serious disease. A lot of people eat their shoes with ketchup.
Mouth and mouth disease.
Personal favorites, Marty said Bloodborne.
Yeah, Bloodborne's,
Yeah, ditto, Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mine so far has been Pillars of Eternity, but Batman is climbing.
Of these, I think Batman would be mine. But the best game I've played this year actually wasn't released this year, and that would be Rogue Legacy.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Last year, but I started playing it this year, and man, it's just...
That game is really good.
Yeah, that was one of the few times... I remember you told me you had started it, and I was like... Oh, dude, like, that was one of those few times where I was just like, I could be you and play that game again for the first time, because it was so much fun. And the fact that you could bring it anywhere and play it on Vita was just like, so, God, that game is so good.
Yeah,
totally.
Good. I love just the fact that you don't start off from scratch every time, that you can use your gold to buy upgrades, and you're getting a little bit better every run.
So you would love Bloodborne.
I mean, maybe I would.
I think you would. Like, I was really against it, and then I went in, I had that same sort of feeling to it, where I was terrible, and then you get better, and you like, for some reason, after your, like, 50th death or your first boss fight or something, you can actually start upgrading your character. No one told me that for a while. So then it starts to open up. But there's actually a lot of parallels between those games.
Yeah, I should probably try it. Dark Souls 2 didn't do it for me, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Bloodborne could be. I think Bloodborne is definitely the one to, like, bring in new people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think of the big news stories, the big video game news stories of this year so far?
Jeez.
Let me phrase it this way. What do you think the biggest video game news story on IGN of the year is?
Shot in the dark. Was it the backwards compatibility on
That's
Xbox?
It. Xbox oh, wow. One, backwards compatibility.
So I thought, I mean,
that was a big one from E3.
We are always, like, we're very future front forward facing here, but a large majority of our audience, and I don't blame them, still plays old games, old consoles. Like they still walk into stores and pick up something that's amazing for $10. That, you know, something we all move past.
Yeah.
So that was a huge win, and that was sort of like their big. That was their they kind of shot back from the E3 from 2 years ago, where Sony kind of was just like, hey, we're going to smack you in front of everybody, and Microsoft's like, all right, we're going to take that one on the chin, and then we're going to come back and hit you hard in 2 years.
Yeah.
And Sony still doesn't really have an answer for that, aside from, you know, hey, why do we focus on old games? Hey, you know,
well,
I don't know why they didn't have that.
Why I got my old games? It's Grezzo.
Sony doesn't even, let alone, they don't do backwards compatibility, but they don't even give you the ability to buy a lot of those games for PS4.
Yeah,
like, they have PS1 classics that are on PS3 and Vita that are still not available on PS4.
Well, PlayStation Now is supposed to be their answer to that, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
So, like, in terms of... That was sort of the red herring to send everybody in that direction, which I do remember on the Xbox 360, they were fully committed to backwards compatibility, and then they started adding that in digitally, and it only worked for a certain amount
of games.
It's
on a title-by-title basis, which is the same as the Xbox One.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's just examples of, like I bought and replayed half of Grandia on my PS3. And, like, now my PS3 is in the closet, and I'm like, well, it'd be super nice if I could pick that back up on my PS4. I think the backwards compatibility is, it's super rad that you can take, you know, your Mass Effect disc and stick it in your Xbox One and it'll download and play that game. But, like, XBLA games is where that's actually really, really dope. You know, I have hundreds of dollars of digital games sort of trapped on my 360 that's actually busted. But even if it wasn't, like, I don't want to leave that console hooked up anymore. So to see those, you know, unlocked and released to my Xbox One and just have them pop up in my library is to me much, much cooler than disk-based backwards compatibility.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I booted up my 360 for the first time in a long time, yeah. and I'm like, oh man, I forgot how many
World of Keflings
or just like games. Shadow Complex.
Yeah,
like,
right, stuff right.
I like World of Keflings.
Yeah. World of Keflings is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Pick them up. Yep. You live here now.
Yeah, I mean, like
cloning Clyde.
Gamers by nature are sort of like obsessive collectors. We like hoard things and we save things and store things. And a lot of people have a massive wall or a small shelf of games at home that they have to look at every day that they can't do anything with.
Now, digital game collecting, I've been saying on Tech Fetish and some other shows for a long, long time, like that's the problem for the console space. Like on Steam, I think I'm up to 800 Steam games, but when I get a new computer or whatever, like I have those stay with me.
Right.
But on consoles, they kind of don't, or there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to transfer them over, and like the Wii to Wii U transfer is like kind of a little shaky sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like it's
I have these seven games from my Nintendo DSi that have carried over to every system transfer, and they're on my new 3DS, and like I'll never play them. It's like Tetris Party and Dr. Mario in the lowest resolution possible. It's odd to see that stuff, but
and so to see like I don't know, like I rebought in the early days of XBLA, I bought a few retro games, like I bought Galaga and I bought some stuff like that, and I'm like I spent money on that, and I feel a little bit weird that it's just kind of gone.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I should have to rebuy it for the next.
They should sell for that though.
That's what I hope this.
I think the logic now is that there's like basically no such thing as space constraints anymore when it comes to actual storage. So why not keep them there? Like I know I go through my 3DS every now and then and delete things that I'll never play again. Like I was like, you know, codename Steam. I had a fun weekend with you. I'll never play you again.
I mean, there's actually like the 500 gigabyte hard drive on, like mine's full because Arkham Knight's like 40 or 50. But they're at least tied to your library and you can grab them if you want them.
Yeah. Like, right. Or you can swap out your hard drive and put in a bigger one. Like if you have the ability to put stuff there, that brings up a different thing though. I truly feel like digital hoarding is just as bad as physical hoarding. Like it really is. Like I've looked at a wall of games digitally that I'm just like, I'm never going to play these, but I can't bring myself to throw them away.
I had to get rid of the story of this game scoop. I had to delete Evolve to make room for Batman.
Oh yeah,
my hard drive is full. Realistically, I'm like, Evolve. I'm like, oh, I can't, maybe I'll play this game again someday, and I'm like, nah, I can't do this. You gotta go.
I sacrificed Shadow of Mordor to make room for Batman. Oof. Which I love. Wow. I love that game.
Yeah.
But I have reached that point. Any new AAA game I want to play on my PS4, something has to go to make room for the new
game. I'm like consistently at, like on Xbox One, I'm consistently at, I think, 90-95% full on my hard drive.
I was looking through my PS4 yesterday, actually, and I was like, how do I get rid of this crackle button and like voodoo and all this other trash I'm never going to use? Like, how do I get these apps out of here?
Those sound like made up words, by the way.
They're all real apps to take up a small amount of space, and I don't want to even want their icons there.
Yeah. A game that has been in the news a lot this year, and not always for favorable reasons, is Star Wars Battlefront.
Right.
Yeah.
There's been a big fan backlash.
I mean, I think people are coming around on it.
That's what I wanted to ask. Yeah. Is now after E3, after seeing the demos.
Well, I don't think the public's coming around on it, but everybody in this office that had played it.
I was coming around on Battlefront.
I was sold at Star Wars Celebration. When they brought us in that, they had this little room that they made look like the command space station thing that Mon Calamari sits at. And they filled it with these giant speakers, and they showed us this Endor level, this exclusive part of it, and then this Hoth trailer, and I was just like, this is awesome. And people are like, yeah, but you can't go to space. And I'm like, well, maybe someday you will, but for now, what they're doing is amazing. Yeah. Like, you can hear the leaves crunch beneath your feet when you're walking on Endor. I don't care about space. We'll get there eventually.
Like, I kind of have a little bit of mixed feelings about it. Like, people are really hung up on the numbers. Like, you see the sort of snarky charts that are like everything that Battlefront had 10 years ago and everything it doesn't have now. Space battles, you know, all these playable classes, all these maps. It's like, sure, there's fewer maps and fewer planets or whatever, but I'm like, that doesn't capture like how fun the game is to play.
Right.
But that's not an invalid point to make.
Sure,
so it's like, that's why I'm kind of a little torn on it.
It's not invalid, but it's one of those, like, you need to sort of wait and see how good the maps are, because any multiplayer, like Counter-Strike is built on one or two maps. That's what people play.
Yeah. Right.
Like, and that's what's lasted. So if I'd rather have five incredible maps than 30 with maybe a couple that I want to play.
But like, there is a real concern about chunks being cut out to be resold to you later. And it's kind of like, well, you know, like the points that they're making aren't necessarily, you know, coming from a space of entitlement or unreasonableness, but I do get uncomfortable where I'm like, no one's really talking about whether the game's any good or not. They're just looking at numbers.
Yeah, that's exactly where my criticism is too. Like, I don't really feel like, I do feel like criticism is obviously 100% valid. You're allowed to do that. Yeah. You should be allowed to do that. You're allowed to count the number of maps versus players or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I think that people haven't even looked at any of what it is doing yet, mm-hmm. and sort of said, is this awesome or not?
Yeah.
You know, because I've from what I've seen, from what they are doing, yeah. I'm incredibly impressed, and yeah. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I have seen those images in our comments where they like they break yeah. down all the features of the Battlefront games and the new one, and it looks like this one has the fewest features of all. But that's totally unreasonable to expect this new studio to, like, when they start out making their Star Wars game, the first step they have to start with is make sure that they hit off on all the same yeah, points right. that the other games did.
Yeah.
Like, new directors are directing the next Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
they have to sit down and go, okay, Ultron had X amount of action scenes,
yeah, yeah.
so we have to have X yeah. amount of action
that's
scenes.
That's such a good point.
Well, it's like always a problem for like fighting games, right? And that's how you end up with like a fighting game ballooning to like 70 playable characters. It's because you have to do more than what the previous game did until yeah. you get into a situation. I feel like it's like especially relevant in that genre. Like, it's really easy to make those X to X comparisons.
There's this yeah. is a way worse metaphor than yours, but there's a show on Food Network that I've seen every now and then called Restaurant Impossible, where this like angry guy
sounds
shows
awesome.
Up. Yeah, he shows up at this restaurant and he's just like, he brings gets their menu and he orders everything on the menu and they bring it all and he's eating it and all. He's like, none of this is very good and you have 1,000 things on your menu. Let's kill this, this, and this, and let's get like 15 awesome things in the menu. Like, let's pare this down mm-hmm. so people understand what they're getting when they come in. Restaurants don't usually sell you food 5 months after you eat there, which is what video game companies do, and that's yeah. where the metaphor falls apart. But I think there is something valid about having a core amount of really awesome stuff
yeah.
rather than just hitting bullet points just because you can.
Yeah, so I mean, Battlefront's just really, really fun. That's kind of all that yeah. matters yeah. at the end of the day. Like, I don't know. I think that game showed really, really well at E3. Obviously, we named it our game of the show. But,
it's the best way to get somebody like me who and like you too, who's like kind of fatigued on military yeah. shooters, to be yeah. like, how do we excite you again? I'm like, oh, put yeah. me in space and let me shoot
yeah.
AT-ATs.
You know, it's awesome. Yeah, you can't be out go to space.
It's technically space.
Put me in another galaxy far, far away.
Everything sure. is technically space.
We're in space right now.
We're in space right now.
This is like I'm having an existential
how
crisis.
How are we breathing?
That's a quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson. You're in space right now. The scoops are getting away from us this week, and I want to take some time to look ahead at the games still to come this year. But a few other big news stories this year, that Yooka-Laylee Kickstarter announcement yep. was a big deal, that we're getting a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie.
Is that, coming out this year?
Oh, no.
No, there, right? Not
there
for a while.
I don't think there yeah, is.
I mean, it's probably 2017, yeah. honestly.
Oh, really? Take some yeah. time.
Really?
Yeah.
Silent Hills was canceled.
Silent Hills was canceled.
People were all upset about that.
Get all the bad news out.
Silent Hills is canceled.
Yeah, that was awful.
Rock
yeah.
Band 4 and Guitar Hero Live were announced.
Yep.
Yeah. Music games back.
Everything old is new again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, Fallout 4 was announced.
Yes. Yeah.
We're getting that this year. That was a big reveal.
Yeah. Yeah, there was just that, like, the trio of things. Well, I guess Fallout 4 was slightly before E3, but just E3 between, you know, Last Guardian coming back and Final Fantasy VII and Shenmue and Fallout 4's release date in, like, 4 months. Like, that was
yeah,
it's
yeah.
been, overwhelming.
It's been, that's why it's, like, the coolest part of our jobs is when mm-hmm. stuff like that happens. Yeah. I saw someone make an interesting point about Fallout 4, I think, on Reddit on the bus this morning I was browsing. The thing about all the Bethesda games is that nothing's ever bolted down. You can pick up plates and forks and potatoes, and you can haul all this shit with you if you want, like if you're OCD enough, but there is never any real reason to. But in Fallout 4, that whole base building mechanic that they spent like 10 minutes on is that all that stuff can be broken down into its constituent, like
yeah.
it can be turned into metal and concrete yeah. and these other things that can then be poured back into your base.
You can make a garbage house.
But like now, for the very first time in a Bethesda game, like I feel like I just never connected those dots before that they recognized that that was player behavior. I'm going to yeah. take every single thing out of this house for no reason because I'm a crazy person. But now they give you something to like channel that yeah. into like a game mechanic, and yeah. I'm like, that's I remember really smart.
My experience with Skyrim was after I walked around picking up everything because yeah. that's what I do in video games. And after the first 10 minutes,
stop.
They're like, you're too fat, too yeah. heavy.
You can pick up like, skulls, and like that stuff's worthless.
Yeah.
Like, but it also has fun like role play opportunities. Like I saw a guy wrote this whole story and had like photos and stuff to document it, where his character just had to steal every spoon. In the game world, like it was this compulsion. So he's like breaking into the palace and like trying to steal all their spoons and getting caught. And
I bet you that dude eats shoes for lunch.
But you can play that game that way if you
want.
That's
true. That's true.
All right, that brings us up to date to June 29th, 2015. Looking ahead to the rest of the year, I put together a comprehensive list as of today of all the big games
Ooh.
That we have to look forward to. We're gonna run through the whole list in order. You guys ready for this?
It's a hot fire.
July 14th brings us Godzilla on PS4.
On PS4.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think it actually might be coming to PS3 too.
Yeah, it's coming to both.
It's coming to both. Yeah. So what is that game? Is that
it's a
fighting game?
It's like a monster brawl game.
Okay.
Yeah. Where you can play all the monsters, and I think it's like four monster battles or three monster battles, something like that.
So like it was on GameCube.
Yeah, PS2, like those old one? Like all
I was into that.
All melee and monster.
War of the Monsters.
Yeah. Those games. Yeah. I'm totally going to play that game. Yeah. It may be really dumb. I don't know. But like, they do have pretty much every Godzilla monster, every kaiju in that game, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, this is a big mistake, though. No local multiplayer.
It's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only online multiplayer for that game.
What?
I know. Yeah. I know.
Are they going to get... we're going off the rails here. Real fast.
Yep.
Is Godzilla going to be in Pacific Rim 2?
No.
Are they going to get that
Godzilla's
together?
Godzilla's going to be in Godzilla 2.
I want them to cross over. I want them to figure it out. So. They got that Spider-Man in Avengers. You don't know.
That's their Spider-Man is supposed to be. They were writing it wrong there.
All right.
Godzilla doesn't live in that world.
Yeah, Spider-Man had to beat that villain, Fox. All right. Now he's free.
Yeah. That same day, remember this was unveiled at E3, Trials Fusion Awesome Level Max.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's a weird looking thing.
That was a cat riding unicorn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll totally play that because I like Trials.
Yeah, Trials is great.
And you like cats riding unicorns.
August 11th. Man, I hope there really isn't a month in between big game releases, but everybody's gone to the Rapture.
Yeah, super excited for that.
PS4.
Yep, PS4, that's going to be huge. Yeah. That game is super gorgeous.
Hot walking simulator.
Next hot walking
simulator. I mean that in the most affectionate way possible.
Yeah.
I got to play that Ethan Carter still.
Yeah, that's really good. That's coming to PS4.
Ethan Carter's out now?
It's out on PC. It's coming to PS4 eventually.
Cool. August 25th is Gears Ultimate Edition. Mm-hmm. Gears of War Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for it. I love Gears of War. I love the sort of chunkier, heavier feeling that Gears of War had compared to the later ones. Gears of War 1 was also more sort of horror, gothic theme than the subsequent ones that just got kind of a little bit sillier and bigger. I like that. I actually like everything about Gears of War 1, one of my favorite games from last gen. So
E3 is kind of a blur to me. Did they show gameplay footage of that yet?
Yeah.
They did. Okay, cool. I'm excited for that. I want to see. I obviously understand it's the stepping stool and the foundation for whatever the next Gears is going to be on next gen consoles. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I love the first Gears. I'm not going to play multiplayer, but I'll play through single.
It's a little strange. It's not Gears Collection, honestly. There's some rumors that maybe it was, and then Halo they bit off more than they can chew. I mean, we don't really know. But either way, Gears. To me, that's the one that most deserves to be remade and polished up and put back in front of people is the original. So I'm pumped.
It was almost unbelievably gorgeous at the time of its release.
Oh,
Did they manage to make it look even better?
It definitely looks more modern. Like, it definitely doesn't look as good as the Gears 4 footage that we saw at the Microsoft conference. But, I mean, it looks great and still plays fantastically.
Well, that's obviously Xbox One exclusive, but on PlayStation 4 that same day, Until Dawn comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Different game, but a very interesting looking game.
I'm really excited for that. I'm a big fan of horror games. I like the idea that any character can die, every character can die. It seems like it would also be a fun party game.
Yeah. The game systems seem really complex and complicated in that game, in a good way.
Mm-hmm. That game is gory.
Super
gory. Really gory. Yeah. On September 1st, two big games, Mad Max, which looks promising.
Yeah.
You know, you want to believe. I want to believe.
Yeah.
But that same day, it might be overshadowed by
Phantom Pain.
Phantom Pain.
Yeah, that's the next.
Mad Max has got to move out of the way of that game, but there's nowhere for it to go.
Yeah, because then it starts getting tricky. But
can move up.
Phantom Pain.
Now.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the 40-minute gameplay demo? Yeah, by the way,
phenomenal.
I've said it before. I'm not a Metal Gear guy. The last one I played was Metal Gear Solid 1, and I am so down for Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, all of us who've played Phantom Pain so far, that game's just going to devour our lives.
The gameplay demo is just insane. There's so much insane stuff. Yep. Like every aspect of it, that they spend like 5 seconds on. I'm like, wait, what? You have this weird mech, and it's got wheels, and it's zipping all around.
And you can fold into anything.
Snakes just riding on it.
Every goat.
It looks like an awesome video game. I'm a little bummed that I won't understand anything that's happening in it.
Yeah, but that's the
best. I played all the games, and I'm not going to understand anything that's happening either. So.
Yeah, just play the game.
Folding everything.
September 8th is Tearaway Unfolded on PS4.
Yeah.
So is that, they're actually like, they...
It's
like a sort of like a sequel or remake.
Yeah,
right?
They have changed the game in order to sort of reflect the PS4's capabilities as opposed to the...
It's sort of like Tearaway 1.5, basically.
Yeah, a little bit,
good way to put it, maybe.
I like Tearaway a lot.
September 11th is
Mario Maker.
Mario Maker.
Super Mario Maker.
Yeah. Which we just read the other day is never shipping forget. With 100 levels, which is more yeah, than any like, Mario game ever.
Yeah, people did the math. I think there's like, if you count all the alternate exits, it's like 96 in Super Mario yeah. World, maybe. Yeah.
96 exits, but I think there's yeah, only yeah, like exactly. 60 or 70 yeah. levels or something.
Yeah.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
So it's awesome. It's fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait. I
which
can't
is
wait.
Like, yeah. oh man, I mean, like from what I played at E3, this is one of those games where every time I see it, it's better, and they just keep adding more and more crazy shit to it. And the fact that like it ships with 100 levels, and if you don't have an internet connection and you get stuck and quarantined in a cabin for the rest of your life, it's still an awesome game. But you connect online and start downloading levels that crazy people will yeah. make, yeah. like the kind of people that eat their own shoes, and it's going to be awesome.
I do have a lot of questions about, you know, anytime that game comes up, it's going to live or die by how good Nintendo's tools are for surfacing the best, yes. most yeah. interesting yeah. levels.
And that's always been a problem with Little Big Planet and Sound Shapes.
Like, no one's really figured it out. If anybody can figure that out, any game maker that has, like, that releases a game maker.
I think one thing yeah. they're doing to sort of limit the amount of garbage that gets just kicked off the trash yeah. planet is that they've basically said that you can, they're capping you at 10 levels. So each person can have to only can make 10 levels, which means that you have to pretty much make your best stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of like Little Big Planet was just like upload a billion things and hopefully yeah. we'll find them.
They should just do a new feature, like feature level every day.
Yeah.
Just pay some employee to look through all the dregs and every day say this is the day's best level, and then you can go back through the archives and get 365 incredible levels.
I got a lot.
365.
Yeah, I'm yes. really excited for that.
The 100 levels, I do wonder if they're made by like the A team or the B team, because the new Super Mario Brothers game, we've been getting more 2D Mario, but and they've been good. They've totally been fun, but they haven't felt as special yeah. You know, some of the old school stuff. So if they had like the A team making those 2D Mario levels, that'd be incredible.
They had about 40 stages playable at E3, and I played about 25 of them, and they're all awesome.
Can you play them through the different art styles?
I think so. I didn't really mess with that.
It'd be just rad if you could switch like the Super Mario World art style.
I think you can. Yeah,
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
September 15th is a game I'm very curious to see how it does. That's Mighty Number 9.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's one of, you know, when we're talking about everything old is new again, yeah. that's another, yeah. you know, that's sort of that Mega Man spiritual successor.
Big Kickstarter success story, or maybe not a success yet, but, you know, presumably if the game yeah. turns out good, it'll yep. be a, another notch yeah. in Kickstarter's belt.
Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know how that goes where, like, did they make their money already, you know?
I mean, well, that's always the concern, right, is the downside for developers is obviously upside to get the money up front, but then what if no one buys the game because you already sold 70,000 copies of it on Kickstarter, mm-hmm. but... Yeah. That typically doesn't seem to work out that way.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, things seem to have worked well for the Shovel Knight guys at Yacht Club. Yeah.
Shovel Knight, Pillars, there's yeah. Wasteland. Yeah. I'm a little
concerned with Mighty Number 9 in the way that the art style changed dramatically mid-development, and yeah. it was kind of a bait and switch with the people who funded it to begin with.
Yeah.
That being said, like, it's kind of a new Mega Man game this year, and that's
yeah.
awesome. I'm mm-hmm. excited for that.
September 25th is Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. Well, okay.
Yep. It's not the new Animal Crossing game.
What happened with that one?
Well,
I mean, it's the cards, right? You buy the cards and then you scan them with yeah, the NFC reader.
The new Amiibo cards are launching with that. They are blind packed, so you don't even open that door, Justin, because yeah. you'll never get them all. You just never will.
I mean, you'll be able to, just like Magic the Gathering. Like I used to play a lot of Magic the Gathering and still spend money on it, even though I don't play it. Because I live a sad life. But you can buy complete sets, yeah. usually. So people bust open 1,000 packs, and they sell a complete set for like $100 or whatever. Yeah. And if you're really into Animal Crossing, you can probably do something like that.
Yeah, it's basically just a reduced
version. It's a racket, though.
It's a racket. It's a version of Animal Crossing where it's predominantly around organizing furniture in your house, yeah. mm-hmm. because that was always kind of hard to do in the original games. So instead of just fixing that in the next one, they broke it out as its own thing.
But the weirdest thing is it's also kind of the finicky, least fun portion of Animal Crossing, in my opinion.
To some people, yeah. I mean,
I liked it. I liked the metagame aspect of it, but it wasn't mechanically like fun to do. So I don't know. I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I'll buy some packs for sure.
September 27th is Lego Dimensions.
Yeah.
Is this the one that combines different
properties? It has everything. It's Portal and Scooby-Doo and Wizard yeah. of Oz.
It's their Toys to Life game.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, that could be big. Mm-hmm. September 29th is Tony Hawk 5.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. Everything, I like the going back to the basics. Mm-hmm. Like Tony Hawk yeah. 1, 2, 3, I adore, so.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, it's a great idea to call it Tony Hawk 5. That really signifies the exact direction they're going with it. Yeah. I will say that what we saw at E3 didn't look great yet. So, you know, benefit of the doubt and all that, but it didn't do a lot to win me over in the way that some other E3 games did.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that it doesn't look incredible, considering games like Skate looked really good for the time. And it's also not rendering. It's not like, I mean, if you look at like GTA, is rendering an entire city, and this is just a skate park. So we'll see. If it's fun, that's all I really care about.
Yeah.
It looked a little slow-paced. It looked like Tony Hawk HD, you know, a little bit slower paced than the old school Tony Hawk games were. I don't know. My verdict's out.
And then sometime in September, we're supposed to get Adrift.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm really excited for that Animorphs game. Everything we've played with so far. It's like a walking simulator, but it's like a floating simulator.
Floating sim.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying, like the fact that you're constantly gasping for air and looking for canisters. We were like, we talked about that at PAX, of sort of just like, it's a lot of breathing. Yeah. And if like, if they can figure out a way to maybe give you a tank that'll let you breathe for a long time, because it's not like you'll be able to upgrade your lungs or anything like that. But it's cool. It's going to be a first-person experience. It'll be a few hours long. You'll be able to finish it in an afternoon, probably. Mm-hmm. So
the game should have like a no stress.
I would love that.
They should have a walking simulator mode where you don't need to collect.
I love that. Like canisters. The idea of just like, here's your space station. You can just float around it.
Or maybe after you beat it once, then you can just unlock that.
On October 6th, a game I'm very excited for, Disgaea 5, comes out. I imagine when the dust settles on 2015, that will be the game I've logged the most hours.
Wow.
But that same day is Rock Band 4.
Yeah.
And very, very interesting to see how that
definitely
performs.
We've liked it so far.
It's going to be a weird mix of people at GameStop that day.
We named it our music game of E3, Rock Band.
October 9th is the Nathan Drake Collection.
Yeah.
Which 1, 2, 3? Oddly haven't seen anything of yet, aside from a tablecloth and Sully.
We're going to see more of it soon.
Great. Good.
I'm being vague.
Really?
Yeah.
October 13th is Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that was our game of the show last year in E3.
I think it's really fun. I'm really happy Terrorist Hunt is back.
Yeah. That's super. Yeah. We played a lot of that E3 and that was super fun. So excited for that.
On October 16th, we will finally get Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Already out in Europe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Already out. Our review's up. Daniel Krupa really liked it. That game is super pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cute.
I think it's going to be really weird playing that game a month after Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Because Woolly World is beautiful, but it definitely plays it safe. Mm. And I think it's probably skewed for a slightly younger audience to be able to just run through. If you want to get every collectible, it's a little more. But
God, I would love, July and August are sort of sparse.
Yeah.
I would love for that game to come out.
Right?
That would be perfect. Within a month. I would definitely play through that.
Get some mild platforming in and then play Mario Maker in the fall. Yeah. It's not happening, though. Not unless you're European or Japanese.
October 23rd is Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yeah. Again, Justin and I both played it. I like it slightly more than Justin right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the thing when you're playing an unreleased game. You know, who the heck knows what will or won't get fixed prior to release. But it's the same Assassin's Creed stuff where I tried to kill a guy. And then I was able to get away, and then he just returned to his patrol route. And I'm like, it's the video gamey thing where if he just bounces, that's no fun, because then the level's over. So it's they have to strike that balance between it feeling very silly and video gamey, and then, but not feeling so unrealistic that I'm not having fun. But pedestrians, some people stumbled across a dead body, I'd killed somebody, and they were just like, whoa.
Yeah,
they didn't really care. That's a dead guy. You should be freaking out.
I feel I'm chasing a ghost with those games, because there's a few of them that I really, really love, but then it's been a few in a row that I didn't really connect with. So
The escapes don't feel riveting or tense to me. It's just kind of Benny Hill of being chased around the city of London.
Yeah, totally.
That's so good. I never thought about that.
Yeah. I think the zip line or the grappling hook.
That is super good. I'll give them credit for that.
I mean, that makes movement in the game a lot cooler. And I really like the tone.
The train.
I like train.
You like
drops,
train.
Drops of Jupiter. Hit train song, Drops of Jupiter.
That zip line is super dope. And I totally agree with you on the mood. So,
excited to see more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I skipped over Guitar Hero Live on October 20th.
Yeah. That's the weird. That's where real people are going to be staring at you through your TV.
FMV games. FMVs. The new hotness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so odd.
And then Halo 5 on October 27th.
Yep, huge. This is where we get into the point where literally every week something comes out. Halo 5.
I'm curious to see how big of a deal. Halo is still incredible and has this giant fan base, and it's going to sell very, very well. Xbox fans are going to pick it up. But is Halo still the thing?
I don't think so.
Halo 2 and 3 were fucking stop what you're doing. There's a new Halo game out. And I don't know that they have that cachet with people anymore.
I think 4 was that big.
Was it? See, I didn't feel like it made as big of a as many
waves. 4 was sort of the last
multiplayer came and went.
360 game. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm super. I love Halo. I'd be happy to be proven wrong, but I don't feel like Halo.
I know what
is
you mean. To me, in my mind, it seems like 2 and 3 were the last ones that had a long multiplayer tail. Mm-hmm. Where people were just playing it every single day.
Totally.
They were also, you know, they were on a console that was dominating sales charts at the time. Like,
yeah.
You know,
Well, Master Chief Collection, I think, I actually haven't played it, but my understanding is that it is fixed now. It's fixed and awesome, right. But it was busted for like months.
Months and months.
I think, I mean, Halo 5 is going to, I bet.
It looked incredible.
I bet it's going to be the best-selling exclusive of the year.
See, it kind of felt anecdotally that coming out of E3, people were like excited for it, but nobody was like, I'm pumped to play that game, you know? Like,
the campaign stuff looked really, really good.
It had a good showing, but we'll see.
And that actually gave them props for doing what they're doing with the multiplayer as well.
That's short for proppers.
Proppers.
Mm-hmm. It's when you ruin it when you say that. It's not a cool word anymore.
Getting into November, November 3rd is Need for Speed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looks really good.
That same
reboot.
Week.
Yeah.
Reboot.
Yep.
November 6th is Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
COD Blops 3.
Yeah. Yep.
Then November 10th is a really big day.
Rise of the Tomb Raider. Because
that's the day we get Rise of the Tomb Raider and Fallout 4 the same day.
Is everybody's plan to play just blast through Tomb Raider first and then pick up Fallout?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good
I'll come back and explore that tomb later.
Yeah.
Get to the end. Okay, Fallout 4.
If all you saw of Tomb Raider was what they showed on stage, go back and watch like their extended demo.
Yeah, behind closed doors demo.
But I think we have it on IGN, or it's at least on their YouTube channel. I mean, it's out there on the internet. It actually shows real gameplay and foraging and fighting a bear, and it's so much more impressive than the sort of scripted sequence that they showed on stage.
A lot of the BCD demos, behind closed doors demos from E3 are being released, I believe, July 1st. The Uncharted behind closed doors demo, which is that extra 10 minutes is phenomenal, is being released. So keep an eye on those.
I was a little, not shaky on Tomb Raider, but I just wasn't that impressed with the press conference stuff.
I agree.
But then when I saw the gameplay, I'm like, this looks great.
The fact that, I don't know if they actually straight up say this in the trailer, but in the version, in the behind the closed doors thing we saw, they said that all the caves are protected by a bear.
Yeah.
Not one bear, but a bear.
A guardian animal.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's such a great idea.
It was like this just crazy scrappy fight. Like,
my only hesitance on it is just like sort of thematically, I'm not totally enthused about playing an entire game that takes place in the snow.
See, like, I don't think the entire game will.
I hope they let us go to some cooler.
I almost imagine like a, you find almost like this lost city,
seen something like that.
Like Shangri-La, where all of a sudden there's this really lush green place in the middle.
It's
a little. She gets so beat up.
I know,
And it's like Nathan Drake doesn't get that beat up. Like,
but I don't know. His shirt becomes untucked.
That's
well, they haven't even shown the stuff where like a spike goes through her.
I'm sure they'll bring those.
She gets impaled by a tree or crushed by rocks. That was really hard to stomach.
I know.
Yeah, I just start skipping those after a while.
Stop dying.
November 17th is Battlefront.
Yeah.
Yep.
What a November.
I know. Well,
awesome.
It ends with this is a random game that was at Ubisoft's press conference. November 27th, Trackmania Turbo.
Oh, yeah.
I've never played a Trackmania game, but I thought it looked kind of fun. Like Mario Kart-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, long-running racing franchise has its sort of core fan base that Ubisoft, I feel like, is trying to open up to sort of a bigger, broader
There's
audience.
Like a generate track button. You can auto-generate a track.
F-Zero, accept that function.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then sometime in November, we're supposed to be XCOM 2. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a date.
PC exclusive.
Yeah. Three games for December. Just Cause 3 on December 1st. Which is totally fun. I don't know where I'm going to find time to play it.
Seriously.
December 4th is Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yep. That's huge.
For Wii. Which is good because we haven't had anything since Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yeah. Well, where do we get Star Fox?
Star Fox is holiday.
Somewhere.
We don't know that yet. December 8th is Hitman.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Which I'm really interested in.
Really cool. Yeah, sort of this evolving thing that we're going to continually get free DLC.
And if you put out a game after that, you're kind of dead.
Yeah.
Just Cause and Hitman should move to January, in my opinion.
Just Cause would be perfect in January.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of, well, I mean, I guess you can still buy it and play it in January, but I feel like that game would fare
better. And I think, I've been saying this for a while, but I think Star Fox needs a couple more months in the oven. Like, I don't think it's ready.
Nintendo's, for holiday, they're supposed to have Star Fox and Triforce Heroes.
Triforce Heroes is awesome. Play that. Some of that either.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Really fun.
Super fun. Yeah. And there's a couple of really cool indies that we've been covering that don't have exact release dates, but stuff like that we think is coming out this year, like Firewatch and Below and Oxenfree. So.
And I hope Below finally comes out.
The Witness. Yep. Yeah.
We've seen Below, like.
We've seen a lot.
Every E3, every PAX. For years
I think they're getting close to the finish line.
What about No Man's Sky?
This year?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We don't have a release date. That's we've announced. It's our
hearing IGN this. First. I don't know where that game fits.
I mean, it's our IGN first for July.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if it was this year, honestly.
If it is, I'd be kind of surprised if it wasn't.
Oh, man, I don't know.
I guess we'll see.
Someone's gonna be surprised. Happy birthdays.
All right, that's a look at all the games we have.
That was a lot of video games.
Find time to play. Yeah. Before we go this week, of course, it's time to play Video Game 20 Questions.
I thought we were gonna maybe get out of it.
Nope. The people demand it, Justin. Okay. Everyone at the IGN house party this weekend told me they love 20 questions.
So okay. are we gonna house rule? I feel like the alphabet thing is like a cheat code.
Okay, no alphabet.
Okay. Were you here for that one?
No, I was
here
for the ones where
we figured out that it only takes 4 to 5 questions to get the letter that the game starts with. Because you keep splitting the alphabet in half.
Yeah. Do you do like...
I was like, does it fall like before the letter M?
Yeah. But we're not gonna do that. That's a cheat code.
Okay.
But you guys are all working together.
Okay, good.
You have 20 questions, but the new sudden death rule is, if you guess a specific game and it's wrong, you guys lose. So you have to be certain.
Oh
right?
Man, okay. So you can kill yourself off.
Yeah. Wild card.
Yeah. All right. So 20 questions. You may begin.
Is it before January 1st, 2000?
No.
Okay.
Is it?
Is it a Microsoft exclusive game?
Is it a multi-platform game?
Yes.
Is it a 360 generation game?
Yes.
Okay.
Was it published by a publisher who had a press conference at E3 this year?
Yes.
Okay. Whoa. So wait, but it's not an exclusive.
Not an exclusive, so it's Ubisoft, EA, Square, or Bethesda.
On Xbox 360.
It was of that generation.
Of that generation. Oh, so we don't know the platform.
Well, it could be multi-platform.
It's multi-platform.
Genre, maybe?
Genre. Is it a first-person shooter?
No.
Is it a platforming game?
Ooh. No.
Okay. Is it rated M for mature?
I don't think okay. so. Come back to me on that one.
Okay.
No.
Zach just yelled no. Ghost just yelled no. The Phantom of the Opera just yelled no.
Is it rated T? I know, I'm sorry.
I mean, probably if...
Yes.
Yeah. Is it a multiplayer? Oh, is the game...
Does it have a multiplayer?
No.
Okay.
Is the game known for its multiplayer?
Yes. That's right. 10.
Wait.
So it's not a first-person shooter.
Let's take stock.
Yeah.
It's not a first-person shooter.
Uh-huh.
It is known for its multiplayer. It came out in the 360 PS3 generation.
It is... rated T.
Not a platformer, but he vaguely hesitated briefly.
Released by Ubisoft, EA...
Is it a Ubisoft game?
No.
Oh, is it an EA game?
No.
Is it a Square Enix game?
Nope.
I'm sorry, guys.
Should we ask Bethesda? Should we even bother?
Is it a Bethesda game?
Nope.
What an E3 press conference?
Published.
But that doesn't make any sense. Would Microsoft publish a game that appeared on other platforms? We also heard a ghost shouting at us again.
Weirder things have happened.
Wait, yes. How many questions was that? Dude, we're
hard. 14. You have 6 left.
But it's multiplayer. It's known for multiplayer.
Yes.
F.
Well, I mean, there was okay, so there were games like Shadowrun, that was a shooter, that Microsoft published that also appeared on PC. I know it's not Shadowrun because it's a shooter,
yeah.
But I'm saying a game like that, like PC and Xbox, maybe.
Is it a game in a series that we talked about on this episode of Video Game Scoop?
No.
F.
5 left.
Hold on. We gotta figure out, like...
Does it fall before Ebba?
Wait. I wish we would have spent more time on platform at the start. Now we've burned too many questions. Like, no. What if it's on a Nintendo platform? Is it on a Nintendo platform?
No.
Damn it.
We're
not even close. We are getting worse at this, by the way.
The sudden death rule may be too hard. I don't know.
No, because that we would just be burning questions guessing games. We're not even close.
Yeah.
We didn't get genre. How do we spend all our questions? We screwed up.
What you guys shot through 5 in the middle. You're like, is it Nintendo? Is it Sony? Is
Whoa.
It it's a multiple. What other multiplayer games? Is it
I was thinking like maybe like a Ratchet and Clank because it's sort of platforming, but those are exclusives.
Is it a... Was there
something like that? Was it like Sly Cooper?
No, it's not multiplayer. Oh, multiplayer. Yeah. Known for multiplayer. Is it? Is the
It's not a platformer either.
Do you earn points for killing things? Is that like sort of the... Is the in your opinion, is the object of the game to kill things?
Well, yes. If the object of the game to kill things, yes.
You
narrowed it down to 50 billion video games.
But his the way he answered that is going to be when he names it, I'm going to yell.
Three questions.
Hold on. We might be able to salvage this.
No, we can't.
We know it was published by either Microsoft or Sony,
yes,
because it's not on a Nintendo platform and it's not one of the other four third parties. We know it's a multi-platform game. We know it came out on the 360 generation. Like, we know a lot of stuff.
We know it's considered multiplayer, but some things have to die. What are big multiplayer games? What if he's just doing Left 4 Dead again? That'd be such a jerk move.
I'm thinking it's probably a Microsoft published game because I would imagine it probably appeared on Xbox and PC. Because I don't understand how a Microsoft or Sony published game would appear on both those platforms.
I agree.
I can't think of anything. Maybe I'm totally. Maybe this is a total red herring.
Red herrings
leading us astray. Steam?
Was it a
Geometry Wars?
Was it a downloadable game?
Yes. Two questions left.
So we're thinking XBLA, of the 360 generations.
The Maw.
No, but it's multiplayer. So what we have?
Don't shout it out. We're conferring amongst ourselves.
We gotta talk about this.
Geometry Wars?
That's what I said.
No, but it's not. That's not like multiplayer.
Really.
It's not. No, it's not. It's not known. Player. I wouldn't say known for its multiplayer.
It's definitely not. Yeah.
I mean, so there's Geometry Wars, Braid, Limbo, Shadow Complex, Bastion.
Multiplayer XBLA
none
games.
Of those.
Castle Crashers?
Oh, snap, but not... Wait, did Microsoft publish Castle Crashers?
I don't know, I think so.
I don't know.
Is it...
Go.
No, but I'm not going to ask that game. We got one question left to narrow it down. So what's the smartest way? Cooperative? Is that a good question? Is it cooperative?
Is it cooperative?
Yes.
I don't think it's Castle Crashers, because I asked if the... When I said about is the primary thing you do in the game kill things, and he gave like a funny.
But let's think about it. Let's think about cooperative downloadable games that were published probably by Microsoft. I don't know. I don't think they published that game. I think the Behemoth did it themselves, but they might have published the XBLA version.
Right.
It's hard to hold up just 9 fingers.
See, it's game scoop.
This represents the one question you have left.
Okay.
I thought that represents that we're doing really good.
Good job, guys.
All right, it's time for you. You have to make it. If you don't guess a game, you lose.
I can't even think of any other cooperative game.
Well, let's just break. Each of us gets one guess.
I already said mine.
What?
You know what it is.
Castle Crashers?
Yes.
Mine is...
I can't even think of... my brain's completely broken.
Mine is the Scott Pilgrim game.
Double Dragon Neon. Was that even that gen?
Zach, let's put it up on the big board.
I'm going to be mad.
Oh, yes! I'm always so terrible at this game. Wow, I only ask one question the whole time. See, you got to know when to hold them and know when to...
So, originally came to Xbox 360. Microsoft published it there, but Sony published it on PS3.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. That's so weird.
It's really good.
Wow.
I want a sequel to that game. See how excited we are about it?
I think Zach clapped.
Man, that's not the wire in any way.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, yeah.
You can jump in it.
You are primarily killing things.
Yeah, that was totally fine. Yeah. The platforming, I feel like.
Can you not jump in that game? I don't think you can jump in that game.
I don't know if you can jump, yeah.
But I do a jump attack of some kind.
That's really good.
Maybe you do a jump and attack.
Okay.
I don't even remember.
That was good. I feel good. Also, I want to go play Scott Pilgrim game again.
Yeah, that game's great.
That was really good.
The music in that game?
Yeah, so good.
Awesome.
I'm gonna Double Dragon Neon, not so much.
No, that was a hot trash.
It's covering our bases.
All right, that is all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Marty. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brian. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address at gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.